And we are back. Joining me now is author Mark Wortman. Mark, welcome back to AirVenture.
Steve, it's wonderful to be here.
You said you were here a couple of years ago.
Yep.
And you showed a movie at Theater in the Woods. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So I did an earlier book called The Millionaires Unit. It's about a group of aviators who came from very privileged background. And in 1916, they formed a squadron that became the beginnings of the Navy Air Reserve. And then when the U.S. entered World War I, then known as the Great War, they became the nucleus of the Navy's air service. And out of that group came the Navy's first air ace, the first American to fly in bombing missions. Sadly, the first American uniformed air casualty. That group included the future, during World War II, both heads of the War and Navy Department's aviation wings, so responsible for building up that huge air force that won the war, dazzled the world. And that was the inspiration for a documentary called The Millionaires Unit, like my book, and we premiered it here. It was a great evening at the Fly-In Theater, and it was amazing to see it on the screen there. I was a talking head and a consultant in the making of the film, and there was nothing more fun.
Good, good. Well, I wanted to set that up to let folks know that the new book that you wrote, 1941, Fighting the Shadow War, you are a history buff already, and you dove into this book. What was the inspiration for a book on 1941? I mean, there have been other books written about the run-up to the attack on Oahu, the attack on Hawaii, World War II, the entry of the United States into the war. But what was the inspiration for
you?
Sure.
Well, there were a few things that led me to this. Well, one was my father was in the First Army, and like most baby boomers, the big one was the war that was consumed our lives as children and was really a big presence as I was growing up. Another was just the awareness that the U.S. didn't get into the war that was going on in China since 1937 with Japanese aggression there and going on in Europe since September 1939. We didn't get in until we were, at least officially, until we were attacked. And so I wanted to understand what was going on with the country that allowed Hitler to overwhelm Europe and threaten to invade Great Britain. And we were seemingly sitting back in what was known then as isolationism. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to understand that better. And I also wanted to put all of this within a global context. We tend to think about what happened then as the United States was at peace and suddenly we were attacked. And there was much, much more going on. And in many ways, we were actually neck deep in the war, especially in Europe, but also in Asia, well before Pearl Harbor. And what was going on in the U.S. domestic scene with the politics of isolationism versus particularly the White House's and President Roosevelt's desire for intervention in Europe, those politics were being reflected in the war itself. Hitler was very aware of the American domestic scene, and Japan was very aware of what was going on here. And so for them, their decisions in making war, and ultimately Japan's in attacking at Pearl Harbor, were tied to what was going on directly in the United States.
I did enjoy that part of the book, how you put everything in a global context that something I hadn't really connected before is decisions made in the United States, either moving toward or away from getting in the conflict, were actually Hitler and Japanese emperors and Japanese military leaders were watching that very closely and trying to interpret what the United States was going to do, who was going to fire the first shot. And it's a very tense time, and I think we tend to gloss over 1941 from January until early December when we're teaching history. And it was really a very conflicted time. You had some very high-profile people involved, obviously the president and his cabinet, but also Charles Lindbergh.
Charles Lindbergh.
And you actually went back and actually read Lindbergh's diaries to understand more of what his thought process was.
Sure. Yeah, Lindbergh, he's of course, a fascinating figure. Right. He was perhaps one of the best-known people in the entire world, and certainly considered the foremost aviation authority in an age which aviation was really in the great technology of the moment. And he had gone to Germany and had he had attended the Nazi Olympics in 1936, and he had done an inspection tour of Nazi aviation. And he was deeply impressed. He was so impressed that he was actually planning to rent a house and move to Berlin. And he came back to the United States and became a chief spokesman for the isolationists. He was completely opposed to U.S. getting involved in the war in Europe. He considered it to be a European problem, not an American problem. I went through his diaries. They were published in book form, but they were expurgated, I found. And I went through the original diaries. He kept very careful notes about his day, his thinking. And he was remarkably obsessed with, in particular, with what he saw as the influence of Jews on Americans being pushed into a war he considered to be not an American issue. And he thought that Jews in America were a force that he considered to be other than American, and guiding, pushing America in secret into the war. So he had a lot of obsessions with that. And, you know, in many ways were very unfortunate. But he also eventually, 1941 as a year, ended up being a duel between him and FDR over would the U.S. go to war or not. And Lindbergh was a powerful force. He went around the country speaking at rallies. There would be tens of thousands of people who would turn out to hear him speak. And, you know, FDR, as a result of the power of the isolationists, said, I'm not going to fire the first shot. He said, I'm going to have to be pushed into the war by the American people. And so he was pushing our Navy well out into the Atlantic until finally we were patrolling within a few hundred miles of the British Isles. In fact, way before Pearl Harbor, the Navy was in the fight. There were U.S. destroyers that were hit by torpedoes. The Reuben James was sunk in November 1941. So we were up to our necks in the war before Pearl Harbor. And there's always this question, did FDR know that the Japanese were going to attack Pearl Harbor? Well, he did not. He knew that there was that war was imminent. But I've been to the FDR library many times researching there, and one of the archivists there told me that there is every week of the year since World War II, there are researchers who are trying to find the smoking gun, and they have never found any direct evidence that says FDR's in any way anticipated the attack specifically at Oahu.
And in reading in your book, you get a sense of how conflicted he was. He knew that eventually the United States would end up in the war, but he didn't, as you said, didn't want to push America or make the first shot. He wanted the American people to be behind him.
Yeah.
And it would be interesting to know what would have happened if the attack hadn't taken place on December 7th, how long the United States may have vacillated between, you know, how much further would the Navy be involved. You mentioned the Navy being involved. Navy servicemen, flyers, were actually the one of the people in the book is the person who saw the Bismarck and gave the British the coordinates to help sink that battleship.
Lieutenant Tuck Smith.
Thank you. Yeah. So, you know, we were there, but it would be fascinating to know what would have happened if.
Sure, and there's the other what if Hitler had not declared war on the United States?
Right.
We didn't declare war on Hitler.
Exactly, yes. You know? Fascinating book. I encourage you to read it. I enjoyed the book, Mark. It was, like I said, I've read other books about 1941 and the run-up to the war, but I enjoyed yours very much. And,
thank you, Steve.
Thank you. Mark Workman, he's the author of 1941, Fighting the Shadow War. This is From the Stand. I'm Steve Buss, and you're listening to EIA Radio.